worship that is due to your name. We give you thanks and praise that you are the sovereign God, the powerful God, and yet the loving Heavenly Father. We exalt you, Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer, our Deliverer, our Healer. We ask of you, Holy Spirit, to come to unpack your word, which you minister to us personally as we hear the word of the Lord. We thank you, committing this time to you in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, today we go to, you got a handout, Jehovah Rohi Patri. We're doing Psalms 23. This will take us to next year. All right. And we say that in this Psalm 23, there are seven redemptive names of God. And today we conclude the first name, Jehovah Rohi. All right. And in this first name, today we're covering the third part. Okay, we talk about the love of the Father God, the Good Shepherd. By the way, if you are a bit confused or whatever, when you read the love of the Father, the love of Christ, all right, it's all the same. Perfectly one, as we just sang that song. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are perfectly one. The Father's love is poured into our hearts. How? By the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5. The Holy Spirit takes the love of the Father and pours it into our hearts. That's how we feel the love of the Father. We talked about Tim Keller last week, right? He says that he needs to experience a zillion times, personally, the love of the Father. And how does that happen? Through the Holy Spirit. Of course, the Father's love was demonstrated in Christ on the cross. While we were yet sinners, God demonstrated, he showed his love for us, Romans 5:8. While we were still sinners, while we were his enemies, while we were estranged from God, so far, God demonstrated. All right, and that's how we can appropriate every of the grace. You see, as you draw closer to God, as you experience Him, okay, the Holy Spirit will unpack again and again. So every message you hear, even this stuff devotion, every message you hear from your pastor and your elder, ask the Holy Spirit, what eyes have not seen? Even the speaker himself has not thought about it. The Holy Spirit will give you more. Like you eat you go for your meal, right? Your wantan mien or your whatever noodle, right? The Hokkien phrase is, ke liao, all right? That means add more ingredients. Okay, add more ingredients. The Holy Spirit will do that. 1 Corinthians 2:9. The love of the Father, all the dimensions. That's why Paul spent the whole passage in Ephesians 3. That we will grasp and experience the height and the depth and the breadth and the length of the love of God. For those of you who are writing in terms of salt and light, for those of you who are videoing, all right, ask the Holy Spirit for dimensions that you're not taught about. You may interview the person, you may interview the writer, the pastor, the politician, the person giving the testimony. There are angles he may not even have seen. Because our God is a limitless God. He doesn't have boundaries. We are limited, we have boundaries. We are constrained by the way we have been taught, educated, and the experiences that we have accumulated, which are grossly insufficient. Because we are dealing with the almighty, infinite God. There are depths and depths of the love of God we have yet to experience. All right. And then the last Friday, we talk about the leading of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is our shepherd. The Holy Spirit is exactly, perfectly the Holy Spirit, exactly like the Lord Jesus. The word used in John, Jesus said, I will give you another. I will not leave you as orphans. Another perfectly like the Lord Jesus. And He wants to guide us in our decision-making. What to eat, what to wear today, this morning, all right? I don't know how many minutes you spend looking at your wardrobe, how to comb your hair, and so on and so forth. Every detail of our lives. Get familiar with the leading of the Holy Spirit, His promptings, okay? And today we're going to talk about the Lordship of Christ. It must come back to the Lordship of Christ. He is not only our Savior, He is our Lord, our Master, our King. I find myself uttering these three adjectives. Jesus, you are my Lord, you are my Master, you are my King. Lord. Every time during worship, every gathering, even just now, Jesus is Lord. Declare Jesus is Lord. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:3. So in every gathering, in a cell group meeting, in worship, the songs that are sung declare Jesus is Lord over my life. Jesus is Lord over the service. Every knee must bow. Every tongue must confess He is Lord. Now, this is spiritual authority and power. You are aligning. You are aligning with the Lord. His presence is already there. You're aligning, committing, and you're engaging the Lord in the situation, in the circumstance. You go to the hawker center, or a fight. Nowadays, you read the Mothership or whatever, a lot of fights here, there, and everywhere. Declare Jesus is Lord in the situation. Cast out the mocker and the scoffer. Take authority. This phrase, we are priests and kings, not just play. We are disciples. Priests and kings has to be real and experienced in our day-to-day living. When we say that we are priests and kings, we kings, we take authority, we cast out demons. Really? We're casting out demons every day. The seen and the unseen, the dramatic and the undramatic. Don't just think of the dramatic physical manifestation. That happens only probably 5% of the time. 95% of the time, it is unmanifested in the physical realm. All the time, in every service, demons are there. Even in this gathering right now. Why? Spirit doesn't occupy space. You come to a point, I came to a point when after I read one book many years ago, this guy, he saw angels and demons simultaneously. Initially, he panicked. But after a while, he got familiar with it. And I begin to experience a little bit of this in recent years. You may have watched a movie on Netflix in the night, all right? There may be a fighting violence scene or a sex scene and so forth, all right? And next moment, what do you do immediately? You cleanse your mind, your eyes, your heart, your hands and your feet, all right? And next moment, okay, so last night, for example, I watched a movie, this Russian spy, what is it called? I don't even remember the title. In From the Cold or whatever, all right? And how she morphed into another being. Anyway, after that, okay, switch off the light, go to bed, right? Then I was mulling over, I was hesitating to accept this invitation from this APCCS, this workshop in June, all right? Asked me to do HR, staff culture, staff team. I waited for 2 days before I accepted to say yes. So I said yes, but I didn't have any download. So I asked our dear Angeline to give me a listing of all our HR principles and practices. So she just spelled it all out. I'm sure she spent 1 hour or 2 hours on that, okay? I just left it there, okay? And all the C-words start downloading. I'll do that in the pastoral meeting another day. All the C-words, right? Calling, character, our culture, our core values, our conversations, our compensation, how we pay people, why we pay people, the principles we pay. Why you get a bonus in the middle of the year, in July? I can say that publicly because you all get a bonus, all right, in the middle of the year. Why do you still get 13 months at the end of the year? We pay relatively well in this industry, all right, not in your other previous industry. In this industry, in the church, in a para church. All right, compensation, I can't remember the other C. It just came, I quickly jotted it down, turned on the light, all right, then after I went to bed. Downloads all the time, all right. I don't know why, quite a number of times after watching a movie or after a walk, after a shower, and so forth. All right, okay, back to the Lordship of Christ. He is the door of the sheep. This is all about making Jesus Lord and Master of our lives. He desires that everything, the sheep must go through the shepherd. Now, the principle is throughout the whole Bible, all right. Jesus is the good shepherd. In Ezekiel 20:37, he describes, God says, I will make you pass under the rod and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. Now, first reading, you would understand, all right? But if you understand about a shepherd, in the shepherd are two things, the rod and the staff. Okay, the rod is where he whacked the wolves that wants to eat up the sheep. The staff is when he guide the silly sheep, so to speak. Don't fall into the cliff, under the cliff. Don't fall over the cliff, rather. Don't fall into the pond. The staff is to put the sheep back, right? The staff comes with a hook. But the rod is a heavy piece of wood. It's a weapon, all right? Now, when every sheep will be inspected by the shepherd, every sheep will pass through and he takes the rod and the sheep is very meek, stayed very still. And the shepherd will examine from the head all the way to the back, to the calves, to see whether there are ticks, there are fleas, there are insects, all right? Whether there is an eczema, whether there is a skin disease, whether the sheep is without spot, without blemish. That's where we get this phrase, without spot, without blemish. Which we know that there's a perfect sheep that can be sacrificed to the Lord. Similarly, he wants you and I to be without spot and without blemish. And we come under the rod. What is this rod? The word. We submit to his word, the authority of his word. All right? Where in the Bible it says the rod is the word? You can find out the verse. Okay? When Moses cried to the Lord says, why are you crying to me? What is in your hand? That rod. We all have that rod. Sometimes we call it the sword of the Spirit. The word of God is hammer and fire, Jeremiah 23, 29. It is hammer, all right, that breaks a rock into pieces. That's what it says in Jeremiah 23, 29. And it's like fire that burns, all right? So we come under the rod. That means we come under the authority of His word. We come under His inspection. Everything in our lives is naked and laid bare before God. Hebrews 4, 13. Nothing can be hidden from God. Nothing. Our thinking, our feelings, our conversations, our backbiting another colleague in the office, our gossip about what goes on between this ministry and that ministry. Knowing the Lordship of Christ will cause us to walk in fear and trembling. In the past, 20 years ago, I was lexicodical about commenting about pastors, about denominations. Until in the whole series I did about effective prayer. You don't want the devil to have a ground in your life. And one of the grounds he has in our life is our loose tongue. The innocent conversation. Let's go for lunch. You have your cliques. You have your gang. Vicarious anger comes in. And then you judge another person. Somebody sent me a video. Don't judge something by your appearance. All right? A group of ladies, they saw their good friend's husband in a sports car. All right? And it was just seemingly, apparently, this tall, blonde lady. And there he was stroking the hair of this blonde lady and kissing it and so forth. All right? And they started texting her and telling her, oh, your husband is with another woman in the sports car, da-da-da-da-da-da. Next thing they found that blonde is the tall Dalmatian dog. I don't know if you've seen the video. I'll show the video another time. All right? And so on and so forth. Sometimes we mistake and we prejudge. Okay? And then we pass the gossip. Too late, really. The text has gone out. You put seeds of thoughts into the minds of somebody else. You and I, you want to walk closer with God. If I want to walk deeper with God, you want to grow in spiritual authority and power. You want to pray for more faith to demonstrate the presence and the power of God, increasingly coming under the rod, the Lordship of Christ. So all these examples, whatever it pertains to you, are we prepared to pay the price? Sometimes cut off some relationships. Many years ago, I cut off a certain relationship with a certain man. All right? Very toxic, all right? He was in this church many years ago, left and then still the same, criticizing pastors and churches. After a while, no more. Friendship gone. Making major decisions without seeking God. Will you stop mixing around with the wrong company? Will you break up your unequally yoked relationship for the past few months, the past few years? I know of a couple now, all right? Many years ago, she was just behind Hall 1 here. She was going into non-Christian. I say, you cannot go on. Cry. That's last week, there was another lady, all right? She says the husband, she wants to divorce her husband, found he committed adultery, walked the woman to the hotel, all right? And then I say, is your husband here? No, he's a non-Christian. First prayer I led her was a prayer of repentance of being unequally yoked. We must start right. Now, this sounds very harsh, church. It sounds very harsh. But unless we submit to the authority of the Word of God, under the Lordship of Christ, we won't be blessed. Our lives will be a mess. It will be a mess. Oh, the will of God, the Word of God, is always the best for us. We have to believe that. If you don't believe that, and that's what's the problem with many who backslide and who get into trouble. Forgive the one who hurts you, who offended you. We will be hurt. I had lunch, today is Friday. I had lunch on a Wednesday with a group of people. And this older lady was just, she was hoping somebody else who just came to church recently, all right, he makes a good associate cell leader, went for cell leader's training, okay? And next moment, all right, in the group chat of the cell group, there was her cousin or her sister or don't know, some relative came and started. And then the wife of this man said, forget about joining this cell group. It's so toxic, all right? Now, don't know whether they're in church or whether he wants to accept the cell leadership and so forth. Offenses are bound to come. I told her, that's the first core value in BBDC. Offenses are bound to come between yourselves in the same department, in the same ministry. Settle that up front. Words spoken wrongly, so forth. Is your primary calling, are you in your primary calling, in your roles and responsibilities in life, your primary calling as a woman? to be a godly woman. If you're married as a wife, if you're a mother as a mother, and then as an employee, as a sister, as a daughter, and so on and so forth, will you stop questioning questionable practices in your business workplace? Questionable practices, submitting for claims, going off without applying for leave? Small things, right? Small things. It is the small things that trip. It won't be the bigger things. It will not be the bigger things. It's always the small things. Will you stop viewing internet pornography and submit to God and so on and so forth? You can add on to the list. All the small things, they are called the little foxes in Song of Solomon's. It's the little foxes that spoils the vine and the vineyard. All right? 1 Peter 2:25, for you will like sheep gone astray. We all go astray from time to time. I do, all right? I'm sure everyone does. But have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. God, the Lord loves us. He oversees our souls. He is our soul keeper. He's the lover of our souls. He's just waiting. Luke 15, he's at the father of the prodigal son, waiting for the prodigal son to come to his senses, to come back to him, right? Now, we don't have to be like the prodigal son, squander away the whole inheritance. Small things. If we are straight away in our thinking, straight away in our attitudes, straight away in our posture, straight away in our words, straight away in our behavior, straight away about that particular conversation in Triple Tree or in the Pocolate, all right, when you're just having your latte with your so-called friends amongst the colleagues, if you have straight away, repent. Don't just want to be in the in-group. Social pressures. Don't succumb to social pressures. Hold loosely. Hold each other loosely. Appreciate each other as colleagues, but hold each other loosely. Hold only very tightly, extremely tightly to the Word and your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Then you'll do well. Because your colleagues, even I, will fail you as your pastor. There'll be postures, there'll be words, there'll be things that'll be said that may stumble you. You may still be disappointed, but hold tightly to God. All right? Why? Because when Jesus is Lord of our lives, He holds everything in our lives together. Colossians 1:17, in Him all things hold together. Your thinking, your feeling, your finances, your relationships. Sometimes I wish I could see my father even more. My father just turned 98. All right. Sometimes I feel guilty. He's just 5 minutes walk away from my house, across the canal, over the bridge, over to the other side. All right. But sometimes I don't see him for 1 week. There were days where I see him for 3-4 times a week, 4-5 times a week in the park. All right. But I said, Father, you just have to take care of my father. All right. We have a very good helper. All right. He's fit. He can eat. He can sleep. He can and all that. All right. He's doing well physically. He wants to come to church. Brought him 2 weeks ago for the midweek. Right, he couldn't last the 4 hours from 10 o'clock all the way to 2 o'clock. Okay, his thinking, his mental faculties are, he's losing it. All right, 10, 15, 20% and so forth, 98 years old. But God is holding all things together. Jesus is our integration point. It's that the spokes of the wheel are connected to the hub. He's the hub that holds the wheel together as it runs, as it rolls. I don't know about you, many times after a shower, I thank God that there's electricity and there's water. I thank God there's electricity because there's a heater, there's hot water. I thank God I can have my hair washed. And I live in a very, very old house. I say, thank God, please, Lord, please hold the house together by the word of your power. I don't know where I got that scripture. I don't have that scripture. So He holds it all together. Let me see whether I got a scripture. That's right, Hebrews 1:3. The entire creation is held by the word of His power. This is the correct translation. NASB, New King James, not the NIV. NIV and New Living Translation, they put it as the power of His word. The power of His word is given. How do you understand this? By the word of His power. It means that in God, God is all power. God is all power, all right? But all His power cannot come to us. His fire. He comes to us, we will be dead. He's a consuming fire. We cannot even come near Him. All right. So how does His power come into our lives, in our day-to-day situations? Through the Word. The Word is the container. The Word is the vessel. The Word is the vehicle that carries the power of God. All right. The illustration I give is we cannot drink the water from the reservoir. Let's say Merici Reservoir. How does the water in Merici Reservoir come to your homes? It comes through that 2 meter pipe, then the 1 meter pipe underneath the root, and comes through finally through the half inch pipe in the pipe that comes to your tap in your bathroom or in your kitchen. That pipe, that tap, that glass, that cup, your water bottle is the word, is a container of the water that comes from the huge reservoir of water. God is all power. How does it come to us? In bite size. We call it bite size, sound bites. There are many things in the testimony of a person you're writing, you're researching, and so forth. There are many things, the message you want to preach, all right? So we need to be full. So every day I pray. I don't know. You need to pray to be filled with the fullness of God. Do a word study on the fullness of God. The fullness of His love, of His life, of His light, of His power. All right? So He upholds Him by the word. So I said, Lord, please uphold my house by the word of Your power. Lord, let there be no leakages when it pours. The other day, it really rained for almost 24 hours. Let there be no subsidence. There's some subsidence at the back of my house. Subsidence means the house is sinking because the underground and the below part of my house is clay. But it's next to the canal. There was a swamp. And before they finally tidy up the canal, the river, there was a swamp. From leakages, from subsidence, from fire, from flood. Lord, You must uphold the wiring system of the house. I don't know, almost 40 years. Wiring system of the house, the piping system. So far, everything is intact. Right? And Lord, can You just uphold my car? My car is 13 years old. All right? From time to time, Lord, just lay hand on the dashboard, uphold my car. I used to drive a 22, 23-year-old, very old BM. All right? At that time, I was in the banking world when I first retired. All right? I said, Lord, please uphold. But after a while, the Lord says, it's time to scrap it. All right? The 20-something-year-old car. So I do not know what is in your life you want God to uphold. For some people, it's the fridge. For some people, it is their computer. For some people, it's their phone. I just met a friend, his whole phone crashed. 2-year-old phone, relatively brand new. The whole thing just died. Went to the shop, couldn't repair. The motherboard is this, the motherboard is that, all right? Supposed to repair for $300, $400, you might as well get a new phone. So everything in our lives, inclusive of our tech gadgets, our relationships, has got to uphold. He will uphold, okay? We will then experience salvation and the more abundant life. That's what Jesus, He's a good shepherd, John 10, right? I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be safe, salvation. But you do not just want to be safe and get stuck there. You must go on. And you will go in and go out, come in and come out and find pasture. Pasture is what a sheep eats. Fresh, moist grass, rich in nutrients and so forth. You don't want it to be dry grass that is almost brown, all right? Fit to be burned. Pasture. It talks about goodies, enjoying the good stuff. Limited stomach space, eating only the good stuff. Every morsel of food, you read the Psalms and the Proverbs, every morsel of food, every drop of drink, okay? You'll find pasture. What is pasture? Grace and peace multiplied into our lives. Every grace that you need is multiplied into your life. Every peace that you need, irini, shalom, your well-being, is multiplied to you. The words in yellow on the screen, all right? All things that pertain to life and godliness, everything you need for life. We need food, we need protection, we need provision, we need wisdom, we need good relationships, we need favor, we need that download, all right? We need to stay healthy. We need to stay clear from COVID-19. Whether it's Omicron, Delta, B2, B3, whatever, the new variants, all right? We need to stay healthy. It's endemic now. No more trace together entry, all right? We need to stay healthy. How to stay healthy? We can wear masks up to a certain point. I know some people, they wear 3 masks, all right? Fear is something that's going to trip you. We need to do all you can and walk by faith. Grace and peace, all things that pertain to life and godliness. All of you are here. That's why you're working in Terre, Salt and Light, Kindergarten, BBTC. For what? Because you want to grow in godliness, amongst other reasons, hopefully. All right? You come here, you responded to a call. And godliness, how? And then we are partakers, the words in yellow again, at below, partakers of the divine nature. That means we will become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be conformed to His image. All the words in yellow is contingent on the words in brown. We need to know the Father, knowledge of God, the Father. This word knowledge is the Greek word gnosis, is the Hebrew word yada. It is an experiential knowledge. We need to know the God, the Father. Number two, we need to know Jesus, our Lord. Number three, we need to know the divine power. I submit to you, as you mature in the Lord, you learn to relate to each member of the Godhead. They're all different. And that's where you get the fullness of God. I've known of believers, elders, pastors for donkey years, 50 years, 40 years, 60 years. They only know how to relate to Father God. They have not know how to relate to the Holy Spirit. I know people who know how to relate to Jesus as Lord and Savior. They cannot relate to the Father because of their earthly experience. There are blockages. These blockages are called strongholds that must be torn down. You need the ministry of the Word. You need the ministry of RTF. You need the ministry of deliverance and healing and the baggage. The baggage. Yesterday, I was just having this Zoom call with this Presbyterian pastor trying to settle something for June. We talk about prayer and revival for their church. All right? And it is anchored by one man. This coming week, I'm going to meet another Presbyterian pastor. We're going to find how to do church body life-wise rather than one pastor in charge of missions, one pastor in charge of evangelism, one pastor in charge of this, that, and the other. It's not going to work. It bottleneck with the person. It will bottleneck with the person. All right. So we're going to have all the things in the words in yellow contingent on the words in brown, which is to experience the Godhead, the Word. Okay? Last slide. Big picture as we end this first name of God. Jehovah Rohi is our shepherd. 1 John 5:18, I've said umpteen times, the devil cannot harm you. The devil cannot touch you. He cannot attack you by dropping a flower pot on your head. All right? So he attacks us by sowing lies and deception about the love of Father God. We need to have this faith conviction, you are deeply loved by God. Many Christians struggle because they don't think God loves them. You say, if God loves me, why did he not answer my prayer? If God loves me, why do I still have this sickness? If God loves me, why did my child have this problem in school and being bullied? All right? So their experience of the love of God is contingent on certain things happening. They have not experienced God personally. It's all external. So the devil will cause you to doubt the love of God. Secondly, the devil will cause you to doubt the Word of God, the promises of God. And when you doubt the Word of God, the promises of God, you will not follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Your decision-making, your guidance will be all yourself. It just reverts to the natural. And lastly, which is the reverse of the first two, when we experience the love of the Father God, and when we experience and bring our lives under the authority of the Word, we will submit to the Lordship of Christ. It is automatic. You will. Gladly, I will gladly call Jesus Lord. I declare, Jesus, you're Lord of this service. Jesus, you're Lord of this meeting, this conversation, this coming lunch meeting, and so on and so forth. Because He has the words of eternal life. Apart from Him, I can do nothing. Our lives are totally dependent on Him, our great shepherd. He is for us. He is for us when we are for Him. All right? He is for us when we live under His word, His will, His ways. He's always there. He's constant. But if we stray away and don't want to do His will and sin and so forth, He's not for us in that sense. He cannot be for us. But He's always true to Himself. He's always loving, always just, always righteous. So He's for us when we desire to be for Him. He has our back. He has our front, He has our back. Okay? So on that note, there are some four questions. First question, what does submitting to the Lordship of Christ mean to you? This word submitting is one word, obedience. Will you be obedient to God? Will you submit yourself to the authority of God's word for you? God's word for you as a woman, as a man, as a husband, as a father, as an employee. There are many words for employee, as a staff. All right? Will you submit to His Lordship? Okay? Second question, what stands in the way of putting God first in your life, family, work? Although this question is crafted as a priority, you can look at this question from the angle of what is hindering you from submitting to Him. Is it somebody in your personal life? Somebody in your family? Thirdly, are there any ungodly beliefs that hold and hinder you from putting God first in your life, family, or work? How will you convert them to ungodly beliefs? Ungodly beliefs, for example, only God only loves a pastor. Yeah, like the senior pastor, God loves the senior pastor so much, He loves me less. That's an ungodly belief. He loves us all the same. But how each one of us experiences love is the other matter. He loves us all the same. Remember this story, we have repeated many times. Come remember the author. This author got four sons. He told the four sons, sons, daddy, mommy loves you very much. All right? We love you all the same. We will protect you. We will provide for you. We will send you to school. All right? You all have the same hamburger. You all have the same toys and so forth. All right? But how you experience daddy and mommy's love, it depends on how you respond to daddy's and mommy's love in your obedience, in your submitting to authority. If you're disobedient, you'll be corrected. You'll be trained. Then you may feel that daddy, mommy doesn't love you. All right? We are corrected through the principles of life. we sow, we will reap. Okay? So, how we experience the love of God is contingent on our flowing and being on God's side. That's the question of the ungodly believer. Lastly, how will you disciple, help other people submit to the Lordship of Christ? Share one or two practical ways. All right? During worship, during quiet time, go to the beach, have some quiet time, some reflection time. Process that incident, process that hurt, process that wound. Okay? Coming to 9:30, you can get into your groups. All right, go through the four questions and go all the way to 10:15. All right, and have a good time of fellowship and sharing.